Hello and welcome to episode 84 of the Desi Outsiders podcast. I'm Meenal.
And I'm Ankita.
And this week we have quite a lot to discuss because we weren't on the show last week. We missed a week and we really try our best to avoid that. But we had a bit of a hectic schedule. And I think Ankita and I want to just talk about what happens when life gets busy and what we do to cope with it. Because not everything goes your way. Not everything goes as you expect it to or as you want it to. So I think it will be a nice discussion to discuss between ourselves and also to hear from your listeners as well, what it's like to deal with a hectic schedule and not just the physical side, like the emotional side as well. I learned quite a lot this week about myself, and I'm sure Ankita has a lot to say as well with what's happened in the last week.
Yeah, and I hope if you've not already fallen asleep listening to Meenal's melodious, tired voice, I also want to just quickly apologize.
You mean non-melodious? There's no melody.
It is quite melodious. I mean, I could totally listen to you and fall asleep. You have quite an interesting voice. But I just want to apologize quickly to all of our listeners for our voices and for how we sound. Meenal's been working the night shift this past week, and today is a Tuesday when we're recording. It's 9:15 p.m. I got home from work only close to 8 o'clock, a little after 8 o'clock, and I'm also starting to fall sick once again after my bout of sickness last week. So sorry about that in advance.
Yeah, Ankita, you speak about my melodious voice. I'm actually considering going into reading audiobooks because I've read
reading
so many
audiobooks.
Yeah, I've listened to so many. I'm like, man, I can do such a much better job than them.
Really?
And maybe I can actually get out of this hellhole of working as a doctor. Could be like my side job now.
Plan B. One of my colleagues' fiancés, he is a voice artist and he reads audiobooks. That's his.
Do they earn a lot of money?
So he is obviously a freelancer because they're self-employed. I can't be sure about this, but I have a feeling that my colleague, who's also a close friend of mine, she earns more than her fiance. I don't know how it is, but they're self-employed. Yeah,
they are. And I guess like that's quite bumpy because you never know what's coming your way, right?
Interesting thing is that, this is just, it's going to be a bit of a tangent, but it's quite a funny story. So they bought a house a few years ago and there's one spare room that they have, and both of them are self-employed because she is a freelance copywriter and he is a freelance audio voice artist. So they both need a home office, but his home office would mean it would have padding, it would have soundproofing, and he would be constantly recording. They can't sit in the same room and work. So she convinced him that because I don't know what it is that she said to him, but she said that she would take the room and he could work it out of a little closet. So he soundproofed the closet and everything. And finally, now she's come to work with Google. So she's working about 3 or 4 times a week at Google, and the home office is not used.
That sucks.
He's sitting in a closet. And the other day she tweeted she tweeted a screenshot of a conversation she had with her fiance where she's asked him, "Are you shouting?" And he said, "Yes." And she was like, "Why?" And he responded saying, "Work," because that's his life.
Oh my God.
Yeah, you would have really to shout and cry and everything, yeah.
Because I'm listening to Michelle Obama's audiobook right now, which I think is quite a good story. It would be better to read it, I think. Like, no offense to Michelle Obama. She's really good at giving speeches, I think, and she's quite excellent in what she does in public speaking. But I think reading a book isn't really her strength. So
really, I read the book. I mean, I listened to it on Audible itself, but I really liked it. And I felt like her way of narrating it, the way she does her jokes, I really liked it.
I know, I thought it was quite, I still think, because I'm still reading it, I think it's quite monotone. I don't know. I don't know. Anyway, everyone has their own opinion. But I think it's quite monotone compared to the other books that I've read. Because I think I've read like comedian stories like Amy Poehler, Tina Fey, and I think once you read those books and go to Michelle Obama, it's quite different.
Be fair, they are performers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
she's a lawyer.
Yeah, and I was just talking to my friend today about my Audible account and how I just don't have time to listen to audiobooks these days because I just go to work and then come back home. And then, like, I don't go for long walks or go, I don't commute much. And I'm actually getting quite stressed out because I have so many books to read. Right. And my credit is, I think I've got like a new credit in the bank and I'm like, I still have two books to read. Now you're asking me to buy another book. It's too much stress.
You know, but an interesting thing for me is ever since I started working at this new job, I walk to work, which is a 35-minute walk for me because it takes 35 minutes whether you walk or whether you take the bus. So I just walk most of the time. And because of that, just in the month of November, I have read 60 hours of books.
Oh,
as in
goodness.
Listened to 60 hours of audio content. Mm. And I'm like, wow, this is amazing. Well, I've never usually had this much time.
My commute to work takes about 10 minutes, 15 minutes. Mm. And it's quite bad because as I'm leaving the house and I'm walking to work, I'm leaving the house and I still have like mouthwash in my mouth that I'm just like gargling on the way and I'm spitting it out on the side.
Ew!
Well, I'm just spitting it on the plants. I mean, like,
oh, the plants, yeah, yeah. So that you can kill them with the acid.
No, so I can give them a morning wake up call, and I'm putting my earrings on, putting my watch on. Sometimes I'm so desperate, I put my stethoscope on just under my jacket. So as soon as I get to work, I just have to throw my jacket and just start working because I'm so desperate sometimes. Because
what time do you leave for work?
7:20.
Oh God, 7:20 is too early. You know, like the sun doesn't even. In the UK, 7:20 is dark outside.
Yeah,
it's dark. During winters.
Yeah, and the thing is that. So, just going back to what I said in the introduction, that the reason why we didn't have an episode last week, and this is because I was working night shifts, and I don't know what it's like in India, but or in any other part of the world, or even in the US, but. When we have night shifts here in the UK, the new contract only allows us to do 4 nights in a row. And that's, okay. It's a 12-hour shift, so 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. No, mm-hmm. Sorry, 8 p.m. to 8 a.m. Mm-hmm. And before, in the old contract, you would have like 24-hour shifts. So you'd just be literally just living in the hospital. But you had a room, so you could sleep.
Right, so yeah, that's like a morgue that you go sleep in.
No. They actually have like bedrooms for you. So it's not too bad. But these shifts, Ankita, So Monday, I didn't sleep during the day because like I was sleeping like a normal person. So Monday during the day, I was trying to take a nap, but I couldn't. So then I went straight to work. And then I worked the 12 hours and I didn't take a nap in work. And I just crashed when I came home on Tuesday morning. And the thing is that in these shifts, Ankita, I don't have any senior help.
Right.
Because my seniors are either in theatre for emergency surgeries or they are in A&E, clerking patients, like new patients have come in. So I walk in on Monday and my bleep starts going off. I have like 10 messages on my bleep. I'm like, what the hell do people need within like the space of 10 minutes? Mm-hmm. Like, it was ridiculous. And it's just another example of how understaffed the NHS is. Mm-hmm. So first thing I had to do was like, I'm sorry if this sounds a bit gruesome and disgusting to our listeners, but might be interesting for those pursuing a career in medicine. We had a patient who was in retention, urinary retention, so he wasn't peeing. Mm-hmm. When he would pee blood, which means that you have to put a catheter inside. It's just basically putting a tube into the bladder and then all the urine comes outside the tube. Anyway, this nurse calls me and she says, Meenal, and this is me like running up and down the hospital in the middle of the night, which is really super scary because there's no one there. Mm-hmm. She said, Meenal, this guy's in urine.
Except for the ghosts of the people who died.
Stop saying that. Don't say that. So she says, Meenal, I need a 3-way catheter. So I'm like, fine, I'll be there. And this is quite an urgent thing. If someone's in urinary retention, like, you need to sort it out ASAP, really. Mm-hmm. So I get there, and they have the equipment ready, whatever. Start putting the catheter in, Ankita. Putting it in. And I think this guy is a psychiatric patient. Okay. Yeah.
I'm just picturing it. Sorry about my...
I'm not trying to make it graphic, but my stories tend to be quite long and detailed, so I'm going to try to be very brief here. But anyway, I was putting it in and he was moving and he was screaming and like people are trying to sleep in the ward. And I was like, dude, can you just calm the fuck down? Like, I wanted to give him some sedation, like some lorazepam or something, just to calm down and put him to sleep. But I can't do that because that's quite illegal to do. But anyway, I'm putting the tube in and nothing comes out of the cat, of the tube. Because you know you're in the urinary bladder when pee comes out, right?
Did you put it in his ass?
No, Ankita, what the hell? Why would I do that?
I don't know.
Are you dumb? Like, that's the most stupid thing to say.
I don't know. Maybe you were.
Why would I put it up his rectum?
Because like, you don't want to look at this guy's penis, so you're like, okay, that's the area. I'm just going to put it.
There's no possible way to just go through the through the rear end and make your way through. Like, that doesn't work like that. So anyway, I'm putting in, and nothing's coming out. I'm like, okay, this is really not great. And he's screaming because it's painful. I'm putting in, nothing's coming out. And the nurse is there, and we're all just like looking at each other like, what the hell's happening? And then I just move it, not even like a millimeter. Blood splurts out. Pure blood from his bladder. Pure blood. His
the
bed.
Top of it land in your mouth.
Ew, what? God.
Sorry, I've had a long day. So I need some entertainment.
Disgusting.
If this is not like Grey's Anatomy, then why am I listening to this story?
No, because some of this actually splurted on me.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, but not in my fucking mouth, man. Come on.
Okay, fine.
it's not Shonda Rhimes doing the story, okay? This is real life. So blood splurts on me. Luckily, I'm wearing my scrubs and my apron, not a problem. The poor healthcare assistant, she's like an 80, like 70-year-old woman.
Oh God.
And she's just like, oh, I got blood on me. I was like, yeah, I think you need a shower after this. But anyway, blood comes out and there's a gut, like Ankita, like a river of blood just gushing and gushing. And the whole bed just flooded and pooled in red. But the good news is that I got inside his bladder. So he wasn't in urinary retention. I fixed him, right? Cool. It's like 10 p.m. now. I'm like, okay, I think I just need a coffee and just 5 minutes to sit down and breathe.
To wash that blood down.
And wash my face, wash my hands. Just like, get this out of my head. I literally put the coffee in the cup. I haven't put the hot water, no sugar, no milk. Just put the water and the coffee in the cup. Meanwhile, our patient is in cardiac arrest.
What, the guy with the blood?
No, this is another guy. Okay. In the same ward, in a different bed.
If the same guy got the cardiac arrest, I'd be like, this guy's faking it. Something's seriously wrong with him.
We have a guy in cardiac arrest. I'm like, okay, I can be there, but this is not a job that I should be dealing with. It's a senior. Mm-hmm. It's not that I don't know how to deal with it. It's just that I just have to have like cover my back, right? Mm-hmm. She's like, oh, the senior's not answering. I'm calling. I'm not even bleeping them. I'm actually like calling their bloody mobile phone as well. No one's answering. The registrar's not answering. I'm like, fine, got to deal with it myself. Get there, Ankita. And this poor man, he's in a lot of pain. He's got an oxygen mask. And he saw me. And he's in the middle of his arrest. And he's like, oh, my lovely, what are you doing here? I'm like, how are you talking? Because he knows me. He knows me from the wall. Like, he's such a lovely old man. And I take some blood from him. We call the arrest team. They sort it out. And I'm taking blood from him to check his, like, any infection or the cause of this heart attack. And he holds my hand, Ankita, and he says, I'm going to die, aren't I?
Oh, God.
And I'm just like, wow. And I said to him, I said, like, you know, you'll be okay. We're doing the best we can to manage you and to see if everything's okay. He's like, can you call my wife? Because I don't think I'm going to make it. I was like, don't be negative. Be positive. We're all helping you. Everything will be okay. Just be calm. Luckily, they sorted him out. We stabilized him and he was fine. But, like, this happened to him 4 nights in a row. And the sad thing is that he left our ward and he went to ITU. And now he's there. And, like, I'm too scared to go and check if he's there or not.
Oh, God. So you don't know if he died?
I don't know. Because if he died, he would have died in ITU. But I'm too scared to go and check because I think
I'm sure you'll find out.
I'm sure, like, I've asked the nurses to let me know, but, like...
No, I'm sure you'll find out because you'll be running down an empty corridor and his ghost will appear out of nowhere and say, hi, my lovely. Okay, I should not be... Sorry, my brain is in a really weird space right now.
Yeah, I can see that. You want people to pee in my mouth. You want ghosts to follow me around. It's a bit weird.
I don't know why, yeah. So, actually, people at work told me today that I'm acting really weird.
Hmm. Maybe it's you. Maybe it's the illnesses get to your brain. Maybe you've got like encephalitis or something.
What is that?
When you have a brain infection.
I have a brain infection, you think?
I think so.
Is that why my phlegm is a deep brown color?
Is it deep brown?
No.
Oh. Because if it
no,
if
it's
it,
not.
If it is, then it's pneumonia.
Oh, God.
But if it's not, you just joke that it's not deep brown, right?
Do I look like I have pneumonia?
No. Just Ankita, answer my question. What color is your phlegm?
It's like... it's like, you know, when it's yellow, but it's mixed with a little bit of blood.
You got blood?
It's like orange. You know I have this thing where every time I fall sick and I cough, I get little specks of blood in my phlegm. I've always had it. Mm. I've never taken it too seriously. I think it's just because any phlegm kind of... Either because I'm coughing too much so I tear something inside, or because any phlegm that I have attaches itself to some wall.
Ankita, you need to see a doctor.
Oh, please don't say... I really, really don't have the time
for that. Do you have access to... Because you, do you have an E111 card? An NHS card?
No.
So how does it work when you go to the doctor?
I go to the GP. I mean, I'm registered with my local GP who's just a 10-minute walk away from home. And I call them. And it's like non-emergency cases.
But do you have insurance, health insurance? So when you go to the GP, do you have to pay? That's my question.
No.
Okay, then you're covered.
I don't have to pay.
Okay, fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we have a lot of foreigners coming in, and just dealing with the health insurance is such a mess. They're just thinking like, you just want to treat these people and send them home.
Yeah.
Some people have stayed in an extra 2 days because they just don't have health insurance, and we're scared that if we send them back, we're going to get in trouble as a hospital.
Oh God, yeah.
Yeah, it's really messed up. But anyway, back to my story, because this episode is all about me, not about your pneumonia. But
I might be dying, Meenal. What if we don't get to record another episode? Because and then it's because you didn't let me tell my story, or you didn't diagnose me.
What are you drinking?
Not good enough. Oh, I'm drinking vitamin C.
I'm not kidding, but I'm just talking about like people urinating and you're drinking.
It looks
a
like
drink.
Pee.
Yeah. It
does. So we all have this this water flask thing that we got from head office, and it's gray. And one of my colleagues came in today with orange juice in it, and it looked yellow for some reason. It was like pee. It was like he was drinking pee.
And then were you in your silly mood, and you were like, "Are you drinking pee?"
Of course, I said that.
Yeah, of course. Of course you would. But anyway, so just the night shifts were very tough. And the funny thing is that the most difficult thing for me to deal with wasn't even the patients or the intensity of the illnesses that I had to deal with. It was more to do with the fact that for that week, my whole life was sort of just put on hold.
Yeah.
Because when you're not awake during the day, you can't communicate with people. I mean, it was, you can't, this sounds like a dream. You can't communicate with people. You're really unsociable. And you can't even do your admin work. Even sending emails, anything, you're just in different time. Like, it's like living in a different time zone.
Yeah, it's like you're living in the US. You could maybe have a good relationship with your brother then.
Too awkward to talk about.
Oh my God. you could be Skyping.
Well, actually, when it was like 3 a.m., 4 a.m., so between 8 to midnight was all right. Mm-hmm. After that was just getting like, just getting a bit tired and a bit groggy, but you know, you plod along. But by 3 o'clock, you're just like, mate, I need a nap. Like, it's just getting...
I just can't even picture it. And I don't even know how you do it, because for me, like, even when I stay overtime from work, I don't mind going in super early, like going in, being there for 8 in the morning, I'm fine. Because I feel like when you go in early and you have to work, you just get on with it. Your day starts, you get on with it. But when you have to be somewhere when everyone else is leaving and you're done for the day, I just can't even
picture. Yeah, it's like ghost town.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like there's minimal activity around you and you're just sitting guard for...
The thing is, though, even though night shifts are difficult, I kind of liked it because I was by myself, right? Nobody's watching you. Mm. Like, nobody could see me taking a nap in the doctor's office, which was great. Mm. Nobody was telling me what to do. I just had a list of jobs and I was just getting on with it by myself. Right. So it was pretty good in that way. And I was put in situations where I had to deal with things by myself. There weren't like people coming in my way. There weren't people trying to contribute to diagnosis or contribute to treatment. Like it was all me. Mm. And I learned a lot. I learned a lot, which was great. Even by 3, 4 a.m., I was just getting really tired. So I'd call like my cousin Kanika in India. Mm-hmm. And I just speak to her for like 20 minutes and we just like laugh, joke around, and that would energize me a bit. And I'd be like, okay, now I can get back to work after having some sort of human contact and not dealing with people who are like half asleep and
so quite how drowsy. Did this affect your long distance relationship with your parents?
My parents totally understood. I didn't speak to them those 4 days, but the thing was, Ankita, that they came to the UK on Friday. So what happened was I had my night shift on Thursday. Yeah. Which started at 8 p.m. I finished at 8 a.m. Friday.
Right.
I went straight to the station to London. Mm-hmm. I met them in London. I spent the day with them shopping in Westfield. Mm-hmm. Was up till 10 p.m. that day.
So basically you were up for 24 hours?
It was about 26 hours, 28 hours at this point. And I could tell like throughout that Friday, I was getting a bit cranky. And luckily my parents were very understanding. They were like, look, Mel, you just need to sleep. Mm-hmm. And I still remember, Ankita, my eyes were so red. Yeah. I had like the bags under my eyes were just ridiculous. But I wanted to spend time with my parents. And I thought it would be quite unfair if I just said, oh, I want to go to sleep now, you know, after they traveled all the way to see me. But during that week, usually before I meet my parents, it's quite exciting. Like I send my mom lists of things that I want and we talk about it. But I didn't have a chance to do that last week, which is quite sad because there was not much of a build up to them coming. But yeah, I mean, it was okay. They totally understood. My relationship with like even my friends and people I'm very close to, it does affect it, Ankita. And you realize that because you are tired in yourself and because like I believe that every day when you go to work, at least with my work, I don't know what it's like with your, I'm pretty sure it's the same. You have like a bucket of empathy that you have and throughout the day you keep pouring it out and you have a bucket of kindness that you keep pouring out throughout the day. By the time it's like 6 p.m., that bucket is empty now. Yeah. Like you don't have any more empathy or any more kindness to give to people because you've just given your heart and soul.
You don't have enough left for even yourself at that point.
Exactly. And, you know, it's sad because I deal with patients and I deal with people all the time and I see old men and I see my dad in them. I see old women. I see my mom. I'm like, I want to treat them like my own parents. And I see old ladies as well. I'm like, I've never had a chance to really take care of my own grandmother or my own grandfather because I had never lived with them. But if I can treat other people who are elderly, then that would make me really happy. And I speak to my parents about all these patients I see and, you know, they love listening to my stories. But then like at some point they're just like, well, Mil, you don't do that for us. You don't make us tea. You don't make us coffee. I'm like, yeah, that's kind of true. Because like by the end of the day, you don't have that energy. Like even now I'm talking to you, but it's a podcast, so it's a bit different. But if, Ankita, I'm not kidding. If this wasn't a podcast and you just call me, I'd be like, Ankita, I'm sorry. Okay. I just can't talk to you.
100%. If today I didn't have to record, I would be in bed right now. Because first of all, for the past few days, I think, since Saturday, I've not got more than 5 hours sleep. And especially on Saturday, I got just 3 hours because... So I was working on Saturday. I had to go to work on Saturday. On Friday, I think I just almost fell asleep while I was telling that story.
It's okay, I've been there before.
Shane's closest friend in Edinburgh since they were in uni, his name is Zach. I referred to him as the bromance on my podcast before. In my blog before.
Sorry. My podcast?
my blog. So he moved into our neighborhood. He's literally our neighbor now. He lives right across the street from us. So Friday was his moving day. Shane took the day off. He was helping Zach with the moving, but I was working. I got home by 7-ish, but I went straight to Zach's place, helped him out with a lot of stuff. Came back to my place because he didn't have any food, he didn't have anything, so we all just cooked together. So it was like a really long night, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And I was finally in bed by a little after midnight because, you know, you have some extra prep work to do before you go to bed because I was working on Saturday. I had to wake up at a reasonable hour on Saturday. And I'm in bed. Shane didn't come to bed because he had Saturday off. He was going to sit and play something. At 2 in the morning, Meenal, you won't believe it. It was sharp 2 o'clock, exactly at 2 in the morning, our intercom starts ringing.
Okay.
And I wake up with a jolt because I was in that phase where I was slowly drifting off into proper sleep. So when I hear a really loud intercom buzzing, I just woke up with a jolt. And for some time I thought, okay, Shane will get it. It'll go away. They will stop ringing. It's 2 in the morning. These people are going to stop ringing. But then Shane didn't hear it because he was in the other room and he was wearing headphones.
Oh.
And because he was playing as well and he didn't want to wake me. So he was wearing headphones and playing a game. He didn't hear it for the longest time. And by the time I got out of bed and I went out to our hall, that's when Shane also realized that there's some noise coming. So he also came out into the hallway at the same time. And he's like, what is going on? Because it's like 2 something. We answer the intercom and nobody responds. And this is the second time this is happening to us on a weekend. Nobody responds. Yeah, it's not a ghost. There's an actual person there, okay? So this person's not responding. They just want to be let into the building without telling us who they are. So I got really mad. And I basically, my nightdress, stormed into our balcony because from our balcony, we can at least scream to these guys to stop. So I went into the balcony. I'm like, hello, hello. And Shane also comes out. He's like, hello, who are you? Did you get the building wrong? Why are you ringing our intercom? And they don't show their face, but they came in a cab because the cab is slowly like moving away from our building at this point. And someone in the opposite building also comes out and tells the person at the door, at the front door, that the people you're ringing are on the balcony. Just show them your face. But the person just refuses to, but he stops ringing. He or she stops ringing. Anyway, at this point, I'm like, so I feel like I did all of this in a dreamlike state because I'm not fully awake and I'm just so fatigued and tired. I try to go back to bed, but that's when I slowly start realizing that there's this horrible burning sensation in my nose and it's not going away. It's burning and burning and burning. And there's no congestion. It's just burning. I couldn't sleep. And I'm like tossing and turning and I look at the time. It's 3:15. And I realized that this burning sensation is not going away, that something has to be done. So I start reading up and they say it could be an allergy, it could be sinus related, it could be a sudden exposure to changing weather, changing weather, cold, whatever. And I thought, okay, if it's an allergic thing that's happening, I'm just going to have my antihistamine and I'm going to try to go to bed. Nothing helps. And then Shane's like, okay, if it's a sinus related thing, he warmed up some water. So, and he said, drink it really slowly so that maybe, you know, inhaling the steam will also help. Tried doing that. Nothing changed. And I think finally at 4:30 or 5 in the morning, I passed out of exhaustion. And I went to I didn't have time to go to the GP. I went to the pharmacist the next morning because the burning and the it got congested by then. I think that's when the relapse started happening. So the congestion was really not going away. So I went to the pharmacist and I told them, and the pharmacist was like, see, an allergic reaction would not cause this kind of burning. A sinus thing would not cause burning. So you need to pay attention to that. If it persists or if it comes back, you need to go to the GP. But for the congestion, she gave me a tablet because she's like, not going to give you a nasal spray. That might irritate whatever is in there. Ever since I fell sick on Monday. I didn't go to work Tuesday, Wednesday. I was recovering Thursday, Friday, I was fine. And I thought on Friday that I'm fine. And then Saturday, this relapse thing happened. And ever since, I've been a bit under the weather. And it's just like, what kind of asshole comes and just rings your intercom at 2 in the morning?
So when you have these issues, recurring issues, a lot of it is usually related to stress and your immune system and lack of sleep and just a hectic lifestyle. I don't think I'm getting enough nutrients in this winter. I think I'm quite low on my vitamins and all of that. So I don't know, because I I'm still, and Ankita, like, I just work Monday to Friday night shifts, but even this weekend, I didn't have enough time to catch up on sleep, because in this weekend, I was not just only with my parents, but I just had to catch up on my life a bit, because I was like out of it for 4 days. So then I just had to check my admin, sort a few things out. So there's just no time. And then Monday, back to work again. And went back to work yesterday. Supposed to work 8 to 5, but I ended up working 8 a.m. Was it 10 p.m. I told you? I don't even remember now. Just a bloody joke. Again, understaffed people, not enough people. I just decided to help where I could, and I left. But, you know, Anke, the most annoying thing is that you get your paycheck at the end of the month. And I personally, I don't know how you feel, but I look at mine, I'm like, I've worked like a dog. I've literally worked like a dog, day in, day out, night shifts, overtime. And you just look at your paycheck and your heart just sinks. You're just like, I've worked way more, way more than this. And today I took a stand and I said, I'm leaving at 4:30. I'm going to come home and I'm going to take a nap. And then I want to record the podcast, because what happens is, Ankita, that every day after work, I go directly to the gym because it's just around the corner. And I tell myself, like, if it's just there, it's stupid not to go, because it's like on your way home anyway. And I do this religiously every single day. So after my night shifts, when I finished at 9 a.m. or 8 a.m., sorry, I would go straight to the gym. Right after a 12-hour shift, I'd go to the gym, then I'll come home, take a shower, and go straight to sleep. But today, it was just a day where I just said, Minol, just take some time for yourself. Just go home, take a nap, and go to bed early. And it's okay if you don't go to the gym one day or whatever. So I think this last week has made me realize that sometimes life gets in the way. Sometimes it's okay to ignore everything else and just take care of yourself. Because I left work early today. I'm sure they had more jobs for doctors, but I couldn't do it. I said, I have to go. And I came home and I took a nap. I still feel quite tired and groggy, but I still feel a bit better than I probably would have if I stayed at work. So
yep, every aspect of your life, every single aspect of your life just gets affected. I mean, the last episode we released was about long distance relationships, and what inspired the episode was the fact that Shane was traveling to the US. He was in the US. He got back last Sunday, so not last Sunday. But since he got back, Minal, honestly, he's been still really busy at work. And we usually used to walk to work together every single day, even though we didn't have to, because his work is closer than mine. So he needs to get out later and he doesn't have to be there at a certain time. But he would wake up and walk with me because he wanted to. But now, because, oh my God, this bloody country, it's so cold and so dark outside. Shane cannot, he's not a morning person. He just cannot possibly wake up. And, you know, be ready with me. And even I'm feeling so demotivated to wake up in the morning and actually drag myself out of the bed. Jesus, it's horrible. So I feel like ever since he got back, sure, we had one date night in between where, you know, we scheduled time to spend with each other. Otherwise, we're not seeing each other at all. We're not talking to each other. We put our phones aside and spoke to each other. But that date night was last Thursday. And after that, I feel like I have not had even 1 hour with my husband, just sitting down, you know, talking to him, looking at him and admiring that beautiful face. I have not had that since last Thursday.
Well, this is what it's like, Ankita, when you start working. I feel like in my life right now, I'm going through a phase where I feel like I have to nurture a few of my relationships. I feel like some of my relationships have fallen through the cracks as well. And I want to spend time and I want to give people my time and my love and my energy. But I can't. Because it goes to all my patients. I don't even, like, I come home and get the, I mean, when I'm at work, I'll give people coffee, I'll give people tea and I'll encourage them to eat. I'm like, you need to eat, you need to take care of yourself. I come home, I'll have a bowl of Cheerios and I'll go to bed. Because it's because for that same reason. And I think that what I need to, because I know that when I spoke to you last time, you were using Headspace and you were meditating. I wonder if are you still doing that?
No. So I'm really ashamed to say this. I started meditating because I was going through a really difficult time and meditation really helped. But once things got better, I stopped. As we do. But this is the opposite of what I was going to say next, which is that when things get crazy, like things have been for us this past week, maybe more than the past week. One thing that did help both of us was the fact that there were some systems in place, some teeny tiny bits of discipline that was instilled in us by our mothers, I would say, more than anyone else, that kept things going. Like for you, you would go to the gym no matter what at the end of a shift. Or for me, that, yeah, this is the day laundry gets done. This is the day cleaning gets done. This is the day we take out the trash. And this is the day we cook. Yeah. I was like, no, if we have to survive when you're sick and things are falling apart, if you have to survive, you have to stick to some systems that work.
Yeah, because if one thing falls through the cracks, that's it.
Oh my God, yeah.
It's a snowball effect. Everything goes. And I think it's days like this where I admire my parents, because my dad worked 2 or 3 jobs when he first moved to Gibraltar. I mean, I'm working 8 to 8. That's nothing, man. My dad worked from 8 a.m. to like midnight. And he'd wake up and he'd do it again. He'll do it all over again. And he worked 7 days a week. And he didn't even keep his money. He sent all his money to his family. So like, I've got nothing to complain about. I admire what my parents did. But they had it in them, man, Ankita. I don't think we're that generation.
No. Their generation was there to survive. Yeah. Their generation just wanted to survive.
That survival mode. That survival mode is, I think in some sense, it's within us, because that's why we work. Because it is part of the survival mode. We need to work, we need to earn money, we need to feed ourselves. But it's nowhere close to the extent that our parents saw it. So I think this episode was quite a good one, because it just took everything off my chest. And
I'm glad I could be your therapist, and I'm glad the bladder blood did not land in your
face. But this is the kind of episode where I hope people listen to and just realize that when you have a tough schedule, you're not on your own. A lot of people go through the same thing. Mm-hmm. People don't think that anybody who has a tough schedule just sails through it. No. People don't sail through it. People struggle, but people find their ways of coping. I'm starting to learn how to cope, because it's a new job, it's a new schedule. I would love to hear people's feedback, and especially that any doctors listening, like, if you have any input, that would be really great and really helpful.
One of the many books that I quite enjoyed reading was The Happiness Project by Gretchen Rubin. And she mentions that there will come a time when you'll get that phone call. You'll get that one phone call, or you'll get that one piece of news that's going to change your life forever. Things are going to go bad. And that's inevitable. You're going to have to deal with it. But how do you deal with it well? Before you have to be in a position to deal with something that horrendous, you need to have some systems in place, where you need to have some routines in place, where you know that doing these things make you happy and make things work for you. So I paraphrased a little bit. Do go read the book. It's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. That's basically what we're trying to say as well, that things are gonna get messy at times. You will not see your husband for days on end, but you will probably not get a lot of sleep. But you would have to have some systems in place so that you don't go insane during that time.
Yeah, and for those of you who are living in cold countries as well, I struggle with the winter blues every single year. Mm. And I don't know how to deal with it. Even now, this week, I'm really struggling to wake up in the morning. I'm very unmotivated. Is that a word? Unmotivated?
Demotivated.
Why did I say unmotivated? Wow, I'm tired. I'm very demotivated to go
to work.
Because
you don't speak English goodly.
You did a funny. I go to work, but even at work, I don't have that same intensity and fire, you know, but it is what it is. And I know it's a phase. I know that when the sun shines a bit and light comes into my life, then things will get better. So I just have to accept it. If anybody has any inputs or thoughts and feedback, let us know. I did speak to Ankita today regarding having some interviews. I know people have their preferences. Some of you like these conversations, some of you like interviews, but I think we have a couple of interviews up our sleeve that are excellent and very informative, and you learn a lot. So we'll try and put one out in the next couple of weeks. If you have any other topics you'd like us to talk about, do let us know. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Desi Outsiders. You can also send us an email to mail@desioutsiders.com.
So until next week, I'm Ankita.
And I'm Meenal.
And we are the Desi Outsiders.